You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
One or two more interviews that we were able to grab in Birmingham Wednesday when we spent the day there. Hugh Freeze will join us in a couple of minutes. But first, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey. Commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey. Commissioner, we'll skip your golf rant, although because there are a couple of golf magazines waiting to talk to you. But I do want to talk about something really interesting and important. This we're talking to you in the middle of the week, so you're doing something on Thursday, which I'm really curious to hear about. You're giving a commencement speech not far from where you grew up.
An hour and a half. In fact, I've MapQuested it to make my travel plans. An hour and a half from where I grew up, Utica University. Now it was Utica College. When I worked there was my first job. So I never, ever anticipated working on a college campus with just an undergraduate degree yet. That was the opportunity. It afforded me some experience, a chance to earn a master's degree, and they've invited me back to, I guess, these commencement remarks. You and I have spoken. You're trying to be memorable, but not too memorable. You don't want to live on YouTube for generations.
But I find there's such an irony to this, and especially for someone that does what you do when you're interacting with college students and athletes all the time. To now you're in that position. You talk to a lot of young people, but this is different. I mean, this is their last moment before they walk out. How have you gathered your thoughts in terms of what to say?
It began in mid-March, believe it or not. So the last time you and I visited, I was in advance of knee surgery, so I was stuck at home on a machine icing my knee, just writing down thoughts that I could share. And of any message that I think is true at a graduation is it's actually not a finish line. It's a moment, but literally the next day, you're going to move beyond that moment and have to reconfigure, at least for me, my thinking into being a lifelong learner. How do I continue my personal growth and education when I'm not compelled to be in a classroom? So there will be part of that. Since we're at a golf course, I'll give this part away. I have a set of golf clubs I bought from the director of facilities in 1987, like my first week. I did not have enough money to just buy them from him, so I paid him one club a month, $35, and I'm going to bring one of those clubs back to tell a story of relationships.
I know there's not a lot of time. There's no, how about no time in the world that you live in to reflect, but I'm sure as you're inching closer to the school this week, if you have a second to reflect back, I mean, you have been on one amazing journey from those days to where you are now.
Well, you know, I remember we were just talking about it, busting out here to talk about our friend Mike's live and his passing. And so Mike and I intersected around Utica, New York, where he was born, and I worked. And I have reflected about any number of things, one of which is just this really a completely unexpected story. So I was in charge of the facility. It had a swimming pool. I had to keep the pool open, lifeguards. There were two people, Ed and Gloria Zwicky, that swam. Like every day. I'm in Mike Sly's office, the office I now occupy, 10 or 15 years ago, probably 15 years ago. And on his desk is a note to call this person named Ed Zwicky. And so I walked in for something else, just completely out of the blue. I said, Mike, who's Ed Zwicky? And he says he was my high school football coach. I'm like, you're kidding me. Because he used to swim every day. And in fact, we had a winter storm. He slipped and fell, broke his hip, and had to care for him as the ambulance came. And I'm like, I know Ed Zwicky. And this was just one of those not only unexpected experiences, one of the reflections, But just, wow, man, you think about the intersections of life that two guys who'd spent time in Utica, New York would occupy the Southeastern Conference commissioner job. And the Ed Zwicky story is just a neat sideline, but completely unanticipated.
I'll ask you this maybe in a couple of weeks if we can grab you and Dustin, but does it trigger something within you to start all of a sudden all these things that you haven't thought about like that?
Or very much, yeah. Expectations, you know, I it took me 5 years to finish my undergraduate degree, so I didn't exactly have clear direction, which should give everyone hope in life. You know, those see students make great leaders kind of metaphors. And I passionately wanted a Syracuse University opportunity because I'd grown up around there. And it's like people here that have their favorite university. So all of a sudden I have this job. I'm able to attend Syracuse. They paid for it, which, by the way, is a great way to go to grad school. My first week, my first day on the job, my boss, Jim Spartano, the athletic director, asked me, when are you going to start grad school? And I said, I want to wait a year. I've been reading all these books that professors want me to read. I want to read the books that I want to read. And he said something incredibly important. You don't realize the moments. He said, if you don't start now, you never will. If you don't start your master's program right now, you never will. Best advice anyone could have given me, because, you know, part of our work is you need to be in the right place at the right time and do great work. Well, if I shifted everything back a year, we're not having this conversation. I don't have the chance to play golf with Len Matisse today. I'm not the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, most likely. Now, I think I'd be doing something really interesting and hopefully be effective in that. But just that one moment where first day of work, he says, you need to get after your grad program now. I finished that in 2 years, and then I moved to Louisiana. And that just set up opportunity after opportunity. And that's one of the real points of reflection, just literally that conversation in that office, how impactful that was for me.
As we move on from high school or college or whatever it is, we think, if I could ever be, I mean, at that moment, I mean, I know that they tell you to shoot for the stars, but was there something that you thought this would be it, this would be Nirvana?
Well, at Utica, I'm in that grad school. In fact, I still have the papers I wrote, which are fascinating to read. I pulled some of them out. I had an article about Mike Glazer and Mike Slive's sports practice when they first started. And I just went to a retirement event for Mike Glazer, and they had a copy of that on display. And then I came to know. So from 1987, when I started at Utica, in the fall of 92, I'm in a room at the Big Ten office with Roy Kramer, Jim Delaney, Tom Hansen, Gene Corrigan was the Pac-12 commissioner, Pac-10 then. Mike Slive was, it may have been Great Midwest, and all these names I had read about. And I couldn't have seen that. What really happened was doors opened for me. So this opportunity at Utica, which I obtained by sending a resume and a cover letter in response to a classified ad, just opened up these doors. And it happened much more quickly because my vision when I started at Utica was I grew up near Syracuse. From Albany to Buffalo, I figured I'd be living there. And here we are.
I find this interesting because you're in between. There's always something going on, but we're 3 weeks away from Destin at this moment. Then who knows? You may know what will be happening. But is it good? We're all looking for advice. But when you have a high-pressure job and everything is attached to what you're doing at all, and to get away and do something like this, does it help you a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I learned a really hard lesson. When I was 32 years old, I spent a night in the hospital. I was the Southland Conference commissioner. I'm in the Atlanta airport, and I passed out in the bathroom. And when I speak to groups, I say, you know, if you pass out on the bathroom floor, if you like waking up on a bathroom floor in life, you're not in a good spot. And I had a regular heartbeat, never had it again. And I learned from that I can go really hard, because you have to, you know, when the fall hits, there's no break. But then you have to find moments to get away, to think, to catch your breath, and to separate from the day-to-day.
Commissioner, I know you're about to head up there. We don't want to keep you, but I'm very eager to YouTube it later in the week. It's a great moment.
I asked friends, I said, what do you remember about commencement speeches? And they're like, I don't remember. Or they talk about Barack Obama, Steve Jobs, Kurt Vonnegut, Admiral McRaven. So either nobody remembers or you end up on YouTube for people.
You're in good shape because a couple of hours from where you are in 2 weeks, Tom Hanks is doing the commencement at Harvard. So I think these will, for the East Coast, these will be the top two of the year.
Ranking up the pressure. It'll be fun. It's an honor, and it'll be fun to just see how that college has grown. They made some hard decisions that position them well. So thank you for asking.
No, I'm delighted.
Thanks for the visit. We'll see you in a few weeks.
We'll see the commissioner in Destin, but we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Some great conversations from regions, and we have one more that we are going to share with you, our conversation with the new Auburn coach. With Coach Hugh Freeze, I'm still struggling to get used to saying you with Auburn, but thanks for wearing the hat, Coach. Good to see you, and I hear things are going great. I'm reading all the news about Auburn winning the offseason, so you must be doing something well.
Well, you kind of say so. You never can tell. I mean, you know, this the gap between many of us and Georgia and Alabama and LSU probably, or at least at Auburn, I felt like it was significant, you know, when I got there and for whatever reason, and you start going through spring and you definitely feel that way. But I mean, most programs I've taken over, there's a reason you've taken them over, and hopefully the people on the plains will give us a little patience. There's not much of that in this world anymore, but I think everybody's realistic, most of where we are, and I do think that we have improved ourselves.
And that's what I want to talk to you about, because you've gotten a lot of pickups and there's a lot of excitement. They'll compete like everybody else, but how is the new world that we're all living in? And you've been dabbling in it at Liberty, but it's a little bit different at Auburn in the SEC.
Yeah, it's totally different. Truthfully, we just didn't deal in that at Liberty. Truthfully, we just recruited kids and hoped if they fit our culture and stayed with us, and if they left us, we felt like we could get others and still win at that level in the group of five that we had to play. And so it was kind of, you know, what is part of the deal. And but here, you know, it's hard to feel like you can win at the level you're wanting to win at and not be a part of it. And so you're trying to figure it out. I think all of us are. There is no manual that says this is the best way to do it for your locker room and to have the healthiest locker room and obviously to deal with the collectives and everybody seems to have an agent now, and it's quite uncomfortable at first, and you know, I'm still trying to figure it out and don't know that I have.
In terms of that discomfort, is it just because it's such a different world and all these things that you couldn't have done and most,
you know? I think that was initially the thing, and now it's more of what is right for Auburn.
Right.
And what is right for our locker room. And yeah, we would like to have this, this, and this. At what expense is the right move for your team and for our culture at Auburn? And I think that is something that we're all struggling with a bit.
And how do you, you're a coach, you've been a head coach a long time, but how do you know when it's about to get uncomfortable when you bring this person in or do that for someone else?
You know, you just brought one of the most uncomfortable things about it, though, is these young men that that we're engaging with in the new portal world. You are recruiting them for about a week, some of them. And that, to me, is really uncomfortable. Used to, you know, we're recruiting a kid for a full year, been in his home.
Right.
Assistant coaches have been in his home three or four times, and we kind of know them. These, we never get a home visit. We never go in their high schools, and that makes it extremely uncomfortable. And I kind of know, you know, going in, when you have your first meeting, all right, this one's probably going to be a long shot for us because we're at this point not willing to do maybe to the level of some others. And another thing about it, Paul, is what's true?
Right.
You know, is it really, or is that other school really doing that? You know, or...
You're friends with a lot of these people. Have you found yourself calling one of these guys and say, are you really doing that?
Of course, we can't give amounts.
Right,
we can give ranges of what, you know, is happening on our squad. And I'm not as close to a lot of the coaches in the league as I used to be. I mean, I'm close to Nick and Kirby and probably Eli are the three closest. And I've had discussions with some of them, and I think we all share in some of the frustrations of how do we corral this somewhat. And I don't think coaches can. I'm not sure the answer on that, but I think our administrators.
You got a former Auburn coach as a United States Senator. I'm sure he can take care of it.
You know, I imagine there's going to be discussions with him if there haven't been already.
I think there have. Based on when I saw him last, he said a certain friend of yours in Tuscaloosa was burning his phone up.
Yeah, well, I saw him this morning, Senator Tuberville, and I'm sure we would be glad to share our ideas. And thankfully, we got a great commissioner who seems to be always out in front of things and have good wisdom on things that can make our sport with the current climate as good as it can be. We have a great sport. And, you know, it's just one that I think, can we protect it and keep it the same product? I sure hope so.
Let me close by talking about you. I haven't seen you in a while. You've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, Jill and I, well, thank you. Jill and I kind of got serious about that my last year at Liberty. And, you know, I think the stress here is probably going to keep it off of me.
I got a great idea for a diet book by Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you were heavy, but you look like.
Well, thank you.
Person.
Jill kind of got me on it, and we've done it together, and it was good and fun. And I feel better.
I know there's no time ever to catch your breath and reflect, and you still haven't coached your first game yet.
Yeah.
But you're at a point now where things are really about to kick in once we hit the summer. What has this journey been like for you?
Well, I sure, you know, May used to be a great month for us head coaches, and now you're official visiting people, and it's not as great as it used to be. And then we'll head into the camp season, but truthfully, I hope I can get away in July, the dead period some, and really catch my breath. We're expecting our first grandchild July the 6th, so that'll be something.
That one down in Auburn?
Yeah, our oldest, Reagan, and our middle one, Jordan's expecting two. Hers is not until November, so we're going to be two-time grandparents this
I don't know. I for some reason, the idea of Hugh Freeze is a grandfather. That will take some getting used to.
It is, but those two grandchildren, what's the question? The answer is yes.
Absolutely. You know? I'm glad you have a good job. Coach, it's always a pleasure.
You too, Paul, always.
Hugh Freeze joining us here at Grace.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
And we are back, and let's get to your phone calls. I know I've said that a few times, but I really mean it now. Let's begin with John in Tennessee. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to call in and just kind of give an ode to Phyllis. Phyllis was actually a friend of mine while I lived in Birmingham. And just wanted to tell a little bit about her story. And so I actually did a little freelance journalism a few years ago. And I was very interested in Phyllis because, her rants were just absolutely hilarious. And I know some people don't find that kind of thing funny, but I find it hilarious. And so I was able to reach out to her and do a feature interview on her for 78 Magazine. And so she was very gracious and allowed me to do that. And so that's kind of where I struck up a friendship with her. And I was actually able to end up doing on a podcast that I was doing, I was actually able to get an interview with her as well and do a feature interview for that. And, but she was just one of the most wonderful, genuinely loving people that I've ever met. And I know if you listen to this show, you probably don't know that. You probably have heard her rants and all of that, but she, was just, such a wonderful person. And one of the things I was really interested in was, obviously, it was no secret that she loved Alabama. But the question was, why did she love Alabama so much? Like, what is that?
Well, I can answer that, John. I spent a lot of time with her, especially back in the days when we would have lunches and we traveled together a couple of times to various places. It started like a lot of fans in Alabama. Phyllis was 74, so you go back to when she grew up in the late 50s into the 60s as a young person, and Alabama was the number one team in the country. Bear Bryant was the biggest name in the sport, very similar to how it has been for the past 15 years. And she lived on the western side of town, which was the Tuscaloosa side, and she naturally became an Alabama fan, like almost everybody else around her. Thank you for the call. Dexter is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
Hey, Dexter. Thank you.
Hello.
Go right ahead, Dexter. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, Paul, I was called. I heard your interview with Commissioner Sankey earlier today. Very interesting call. But I go way back 30 years with Commissioner Sankey when he was a compliance officer at Northwestern State University in the Southland Conference.
Oh, sure.
At Northwestern State University, they had 48 rules violations. And we got put on probation the year after I got there as a freshman. And my question is, my viewpoint is this. The NCAA has evolved since then. And I'm just wondering, because then we got put on probation for 3 years. And my question is, what do you see the NCAA evolving to from that point? And Greg Sankey was our compliance officer, and now he's the commissioner of the SEC. I wish I could speak with him. I thought he was on live to see where we see the NCAA evolving to eventually. because then the transfer portal was simple.
Well, Dexter, I'll try to answer that because I've covered college football a long time, and I was very interactive with the NCAA back in the day. The NCAA back then was a very draconian organization that went out of its way to hurt and destroy programs. That is not the case anymore. The NCAA has virtually no power. There's still a couple of hanging cases like Tennessee's that there is debate, but most of the time the NCAA has no impact at all on intercollegiate athletics in relation to compliance, other than maybe from an eligibility standpoint. But the rules are so skewed now with NIL and the portal, and I mean coaches blatantly doing things today that would have shut the program down 40 years ago. William is up next in Maryville. Hello, William.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Okay.
Great, great interview with future Governor Barkley of Alabama. I used to live when I lived in Scottsdale. He was playing for the Suns, and you'd see him out and about, and in the restaurants and the bars, and he was exactly in person what he is on TV. I think people underestimate the notion that a true sense of humor, and I don't mean a sense of humor based in prejudice or putting people down, but a true sense of humor like Barkley has is a sign of really great intelligence. He's a very, very bright individual, and it was a great interview, and I don't want to rain on Kirby Smart's parade because I really thought you could see in his face when you brought up the wreck and the phone call he got at 3 a.m. that was a real, probably turning point in his life. But, the Willicks lawsuit that has happened and nobody's talking about it has two very interesting allegations. And the first is that Jalen Carter's license was suspended when he was driving that night. And at his plea agreement, the prosecutor either didn't bring it up or didn't charge him or didn't inform the court or didn't know about it, which I find to be just incredulous. But the bigger issue, which I think could have NIL ramifications, is that the lawyers for Willicks, or for his estate, basically his personal representative, they have sued the Jeep dealership that provided him the Jeep that he was driving under some sort of theory that they should have known about his suspended license and or his very bad driving record. And, I don't know whether the car was loaned to him, leased to him, given to him. But, if that goes forward, certainly, I think auto dealerships are going to say, do we really want to be providing cars to these athletes that we don't have any control over?
Yeah, and William, on that subject, I happened to be at an event a couple weeks ago and sat next to the principal partner in one of these mega dealerships, and they supply dozens of schools. And that is a big part of the way car dealerships do business in exchange for whatever, but it's a really interesting point. I don't know the answer. I don't know that much about the Willicks lawsuit, but I'll look into it. Thank you for the call. Interesting point. Peggy is up next in Tennessee.
Hi there, Paul. How are you today?
Hey, Peggy.
Hey, yesterday, I tell you what, that's the first time I had heard Phyllis. And I want you to know, I have went and listened to some of y'all's talk two or three times. How amazing, how entertaining, how enjoyable that was. And I want to tell you, she reminded me so much of I had a younger sister, Vicky. She passed away in 2015. And she was a Phyllis, a 50-year-old Phyllis. When we buried her, she was buried in her UT sweatshirt, and I enjoyed listening to that. You have no idea how, and I just want to tell her family. I mean, her spirit lives in all these women that are fans like that. I loved her love of her team. Now, my sister would defend Butch Jones. I mean, did she thought he was.
Well,
the
Peggy,
best
you weren't the only one. We had Mike Griffith on the show every week, and he was defending Butch Jones as well. So, your crazy sister was not had company from professional journalists. Hey, thanks for the call. I'll never forget the time that Griff was demanding that Butch Jones get a contract extension. I think he had a losing record the next year. Rick is in Tennessee. Hello, Rick. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Paul. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
Yes, we talked about maybe two years ago about if Georgia's got a curse over their stadium. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I was thinking about now this year, last year they won back-to-back championships. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know about the curse. I think Georgia won back-to-back because Kirby Smart has outmaneuvered everyone else in college football the last 5 or 6 years by building an impenetrable roster that really you have to go back to some of Nick Saban's best teams at Alabama to compare. Phil is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Phil, go ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Listen, Graham Mertz going to Florida. I'm a Wisconsin Badger. How do you think he's going to hold up?
He's got experience, but I don't know if he has talent. It's important as a quarterback to know what you're doing, but to me, he's limited. And I think when he starts to see defenses like he'll see against Georgia and others, he could be severely challenged. Hey, thanks for the call. We are up against the break. We haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time with callers, but we will do that the rest of the way. So if you want to get on board, you can do so now at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And this weekend, big in Alabama, Roman Harper among a group, including Jackie Sherrill, heading into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Randy is up next. Hello, Randy.
Yeah. Hey, Paul. I need to ask you a question. How are you today?
Very well.
Okay. How good is that quarterback going to be? They said from Wisconsin, Hurst, going to Florida, right?
Graham Mertz. He had moments at Wisconsin, but he did not light anybody up in the spring, and then there's a lot of angst about him.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to go with Florida, even their football and basketball.
I don't know, Randy. I like the fact that he's got experience, because the one thing you don't want is a quarterback with a deer in the headlights look. That's a bad. I'd rather have a guy that at least knows what he's doing, even with limited talent. Jalen is up next. Hello, Jalen.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great.
I just had a quick question about the SEC championship game. With the SEC expanding next year, and Nashville getting a new stadium, will we consider moving the SEC championship game to Tennessee?
Well, Jalen, I think Nashville is about to, get on everybody's radar with that new stadium, but at the moment, I think the SEC is very committed to Atlanta. That stadium is fairly new as well. It was built. It opened what in 17. So I don't see it leaving Atlanta anytime soon. I think they have a pretty long term agreement, and they like they like the geography. Nashville's good as well, but I don't think that's happening. Glenn is up next in Alabama. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We are well. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I'd just like to say about Phyllis, she had so much passion for the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, and we're going to miss her. And she was one of my best callers on your show. And God give her family peace and comfort during this time.
Thank you. Thank you very much for saying that. Willie is in Mississippi. Hello, Willie. Good afternoon.
Hey, Willie. Hey, Paul. Willie. Hey, look, I love your show, man. Thanks for making my call.
Thank you.
Hey, one quick question, Paul. So I know you're a Tennessee graduate, but you appear to be a huge Alabama fan. When they play each other, do you have any type of emotions going on there? And I'll hang up and let you respond.
Yeah, Willie, I try to keep it in check. We always do a prediction before the game on our Saturday morning show, and I'm pretty sure that I haven't picked Tennessee to win since 2006. But that changed this year, as some people may remember. I picked Tennessee to pull the upset when we were in Knoxville, as some people may remember. Let's check out Ken, who is in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are fine. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to wish all the mothers out there a very happy Mother's Day. And I just wanted to say a little message to all the kids of moms today. You know, they would just take some extra special time and really, really appreciate their mothers for all they've done for them. I know I did my whole life. I graduated as a veterinarian from Auburn and had just great support, but my mother died yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
At 86, she would have been her birthday and Mother's Day fell the same day this year on the 14th. She would have been 87, and we kept her at home and kept her very, very comfortable. You know, it's just a special love. I lost my brother 2 weeks ago and my dad 2 years ago, so it's me and my son now, pretty much in the family. But Paul, I don't know. I've heard you speak of your mother as well, and I'm not sure. I don't know that she's still living, Paul.
I'm glad you. I'm so sorry to hear about what you've been going through. My mother died a number of years ago. I will tell you this quick story. In the years afterward, I used to write. I was not a broadcaster. I was a sports writer, and I've seen this happen so many times, where somebody will lose a parent or someone that they love, and writers, I mean, and they'll try to write about it. And the next year, I sat down to write something. I couldn't get a word. Next year, it took me about 6 years, and then one day on the Thursday before Mother's Day, the last column of the week came out on Saturday morning in the Birmingham News in Birmingham, and it was magical. It was all of a sudden it just started flowing on my computer, and I won't say too much more because it's
right.
But it became the most cherished article of my life because of what it stood for and what it represented in regard to my mother. And I can't tell you that any of us know what you're going through right now because you've gone through so many different emotions in the last 2 weeks. But as you started talking about it, Mother's Day became that moment that became even more special to me, because when you don't have a mother, it's a tough day. It's a tough day for everyone to see what goes on tomorrow and Sunday in every walk of life. So I appreciate you saying that, and I'm sure you've
brought a lot of memories out for those of us who are remembering our mother this weekend.
Absolutely, you know, and it's amazing to see how many lives they touched, you know, with going through all the funeral preparations and all. It's just been an outpouring. She was a educator in Millbrook. Was in the public school system there as a teacher and then an administrator after that, and very active in her church. And it's just amazing. I still bump into people that say, I had your mother when I was in school, you know, and just was very revered and respected. And buddy, she was respected in this house. I'll tell you that.
You don't have to share her whole name, but what was her name? Because just for those who may not have.
It's she went by Fran, but her name's Frankie Neal, N-E-A-L, and everybody knew her, you know, in Millbrook and the surrounding areas. And buddy, I'll tell you what, Dad was in the military. We moved around everywhere, and she taught everywhere we were, and got her, you know, her undergraduate there at Alabama, and got her master's in Michigan. Yeah, we were everywhere, and I'm just telling you. You just don't realize how many lives your mother has touched.
Ken, let me jump in because we're about to run out of time. But thank you for sharing that with us. You be well. We'll be thinking of you and your family this weekend.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.